And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Every show has a theme, and today's theme is all things that are uniquely American. Each of my guests is discussing an American subject, whether it's the right to dissent, baseball, or GOP presidential candidates. My next guest is the managing editor of the Daily National, a multimedia news and opinion site that features original TV and radio interviews and commentary with experts and newsmakers. We'll discuss Herman Cain's presidential campaign and the entire GOP presidential hopeful field. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question, give us a call at 639-0008. T.J. Walker is the managing editor and the founder of the Daily National. T.J. is a news analyst, and he's appeared on thousands of major national and international local TV programs as an analyst and a commentator. Currently, T.J. is a regular commentator, is seen on Reuters Insider Network, and he's a blogger for Forbes. T.J. is the author of five books, including USA Today's number one best-selling T.J. Walker's Secrets to Foolproof Presentations. Interesting, TJ set a Guinness Book of World Records back in 2009 for the most talk show appearances ever in a 24-hour period. TJ is also a communications coach who speaks with trainees around the globe. He has personally trained presidents of countries, prime ministers, Nobel Peace Prize winners, U.S. senators, members of parliament, and professional athletes. Joining us from New York City. Hi, TJ. How are you today?
Fantastic.
Well, thank you for being our guest. I've been looking forward to this because it's very timely. Of course, tonight is the next in the series of GOP presidential debates. And after the first GOP presidential debate, you wrote, Herman Cain won the, and I'm quoting now, Pat Buchanan, Alan Keyes contest for the most articulate debate performance from a candidate who doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of winning. Now, since writing that, Cain has won the Florida straw poll, and he's won the Midwest leadership straw poll. And recent opinion polls show that Herman Cain is joining the leaders of the GOP presidential hopefuls. In fact, a Washington Post ABC News poll shows that Cain, his status rose 12 percentage points last month, while Rick Perry's fell 13 percentage points during the same period. So as a presentations expert and a political pundit, what has Herman Cain done correctly to catapult himself in these opinion polls?
Well, for starters, simply showing up, making a fool out of himself the way Harry did in the last debate, the way Bachman does every time she opens her mouth. So there's a certain, and by simply not being Romney, and by articulating mainstream conservative views in a way that Ron Paul doesn't. He's libertarian, and you know, he repudiated Ronald Reagan when Reagan was in office. So if you are sort of a mainstream conservative Republican voter, you're looking for someone who represents your views. You don't really like Romney because Romney was, let's face it, a big liberal till about 5 minutes ago, pro-choice, pro-gun control, you know, pro-government health care. So if you're a mainstream conservative Republican, you don't really like Romney. And consistently, about three-fourths of the Republican voters have said they don't like him. So all of these other mainstream conservative voters are looking for a candidate. And they thought maybe it was Trump, and then they realized he was a fool and he didn't run. And they, for a while, it was, you know, Palin, and then...
And Chris Christie, there? Most recently, and, Chris Christie.
And it was Perry, and then they realized the guy can't get a straight sentence out of his mouth. And then, you know, people have looked at some of the other candidates, but, you know, Rick Santorum, nobody likes him, especially voters who know him best. I mean, they just repudiated him in Pennsylvania the last time he ran. And then you're looking at someone like, you know, who's really left? Guy Huntsman. Well, he comes across very moderate, even liberal on issues. So Cain wins by default. I still think he has about the same chance of becoming the Republican nominee as you or me.
Well, that was going to be my next question.
Basically zero.
Why is that, TJ?
Well, excuse me, you look at the last 150, excuse me, one sec.
Sure, take your time. So my guest is TJ Walker.
150 years, how many times has a major party nominated somebody for president who either had not won a statewide gubernatorial position, Senate seat, or the vice presidency, or won a world war over Hitler. When's the last time any major party nominated someone who didn't hit those four categories?
It hasn't happened yet.
Hasn't happened. I don't think it's going to happen this time. I mean, Herman Cain has had it really easy. How many people have you seen pounding on him in the debates? None. Well, I think you're going to see that tonight. I think the free ride is over because the Rick Santorums and the Rick Perrys are going to think, this guy Cain is getting our vote. We got to start going after him. We can't seem to really get any of Mitt Romney's 22%. Let's go after the other votes out there. So I think they're going to be going after Cain. And I've only seen one person really go after Herman Cain, and that was Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC last week. And he, in my view, just made absolute mincemeat of Herman Cain. He can't answer basic questions about how his 999 plan is supposed to add up to anything. Conservatives are not attacking him yet because they don't worry about him. But I can tell you, the Grover Norquist of the world and the mainstream conservatives do not want the Republican Party introducing a 9% national sales tax, because in their mind, that's just another great door for taxation into the federal coffers, with the federal income tax not going down. So he's been in the easiest of all possible worlds, where everyone else is attacking everyone and he floats to the top. Well, now that he is at the top of the anybody but Romney group, he's going to start getting pounded.
And you don't think that he'll be able to stand up to that pounding? He won't take the body blows that these other contenders are going to lay on him tonight and in future debates?
Yeah, more and more people are starting. If you look at what's going on in the blogosphere, more and more people, whether it's National Review, even liberal websites, are pointing out the fact that this guy's not serious. He's middle of the campaign. He kind of stops to go on a three-week book tour. He's not really raising money. You look at his calendar, and 19 out of 30 days are empty. He doesn't really have an organization in Iowa or New Hampshire. He says things like, if I'm asked to be vice president by Romney, sure, maybe. That's not what real presidential candidates do. This guy is running for something. I don't think it's president. I think he'd like to have higher speaker fees on the motivational speaking circuit, and he is a good speaker. He would perhaps like his own show on Fox, and he might be a good TV commentator. But he's not really running for president. And at some point, it's pandering and, sort of reverse discrimination to treat him as if he were a real candidate.
My guest is T.J. Walker. So, T.J., you are a consultant. You help people with their presence. You help them with their presentation. So I'm going to turn the tables on you and say, let's say Herman Cain came to you as a client, and he wanted to know, what can I do to turn my campaign around in terms of my public persona, my presentation, and what would you advise him to do?
Well, I would advise him, run for governor. Show people you can actually govern. You know, a lot of people thought Ronald Reagan was the greatest public speaker in the world in 1964 when he gave the nominating speech for Goldwater at the Republican convention. But he didn't just start running for president because he was a good speaker. He actually took the time and did the incredibly difficult work of running for governor of California, governing every day for 4 years, running for another term, governing for another 4 years, and then started running for serious campaigns for president. You know, this idea that you have no experience in something and therefore that makes you better, that just is not a serious idea. If any of your listeners said to themselves, hey, you know what, I just got diagnosed with brain cancer, I need a brain surgeon, let me find somebody who has never performed brain surgery, and that somehow is going to make them better qualified, that would be crazy. I'm not discounting his business experience, but it's simply difficult and it's different. And there's bipartisan consensus on this. Rich Lowry of the National Review has a lengthy article in today's National Review Online where he talks about this silly nonsense of, you know, the so-called non-politician being better. So if you really believe that, then you'd have to believe that John Corzine was a much better public official than Ronald Reagan or Chris Christie.
Well, now that makes sense.
Private sector, you know, experience and success.
Well, that makes sense, TJ, but if you take that out one step farther, then what sounds like you're saying is you have to pay your dues in order to be in the role. So if that's
not an entry-level position.
And that seems fair. So if
and
you...
If I am hired to be a talk show host on your station at 2 in the morning on a Saturday morning and I'm not great, it's not the end of the world.
No harm, no foul.
Maybe the station loses $1,000 in revenue at the end of the quarter. But it's not that bad. But if we really give someone the most powerful position in the entire world, and they're not any good, the stakes are just too high. And at some point, voters are serious. They do treat this seriously. I do think voters in either party sometimes like to send a message to their party. For example, Pat Buchanan got, what, some 48% in the New Hampshire primary?
Yes.
In 1992 against the sitting president, George Herbert Walker Bush, and that was in part conservatives sending a message to Bush that they did not like him breaking his no new taxes pledge. But I really don't think that most of those people really thought that Pat Buchanan could and would and should be the next president of the United States, because there's something more to being president than simply being a good talk show host, which Pat Buchanan was and is. And Herman Cain is, you know, not a bad talk show host. But there's something more to being president than being a talk show host or a preacher. Because if that's all there were to it, Jesse Jackson would be president. Alan Keyes would be president.
All right. Point well taken. My guest is T.J. Walker. So, T.J., if the election was held tomorrow, which of the current GOP candidates would present the biggest challenge to President Barack Obama? Now, just let me preface this by saying I heard one of the political pundits on this network saying right now a monkey could beat Obama. I'm not so dismissive. I think incumbent presidents have a real decided advantage when it comes to seeking re-election. So give us some of President Obama's strengths during his first 3.5 years, and where is he vulnerable?
Well, his biggest strength is that the American people, when they see the Republican candidates out there, they are disgusted. It is true that by every historical standard, Obama is in horrible shape. Traditionally, incumbent presidents running for re-election, when unemployment is 9%, they lose. When unemployment is going up, they lose. When their approval ratings are this far south of 40%, of 50%, they lose. So by those three measures, by every historical standard, Obama should lose. But here's the thing everyone forgets. As low as Obama's approval rating is, the Republicans in Congress and the Republican presidential candidates have even lower approval ratings. Their negative ratings are even higher. And while it may sound cynical or awful to suggest this, at some point, you know, President Obama can be hated and detested by 99% of the voters in America. If 100% of the voters hate the Republican nominee, Obama will still win. Now, I'm suggesting it's going to be easy, but you can't look at these things in a vacuum. You have to look at it within the context of what are the real-world choices. And I can tell you right now, if it's Obama versus, you know, Bachman or Rick Perry or Sarah Palin, their negatives are higher than Obama's.
Well, we know
that the question about with Mitt Romney, you could make the case is a lot more palatable to moderates and independents, because Mitt Romney, you know, is a moderate, and he basically is a liberal who's just pandered his way into pretending to be a right winger. But then you've got the real issue: will the conservatives really mobilize around Romney, or do they say, "Look, you know, Romney's no different from Obama"? And do they stay at home?
Do you think that that would realistically be possible, though, given a choice between voting for a Republican candidate that you didn't like, facing off against a Democratic opponent that you don't like? Do you think conservatives would stay at home, or would they say, given that choice, the lesser of two evils?
I think an awful lot of conservatives would be profoundly, profoundly apathetic towards Mitt Romney. If people want to get a better sense why, I have a 15-minute interview with Republican consultant Roger Stone, who documents in detail all the ways Mitt Romney was a liberal. That's on my site at dailynational.com, 3ws.dailynational.com. I mean, Romney, just a few years ago, wrote into law that Planned Parenthood has a seat at the table of health and health care in Massachusetts, but no pro-life group does. Now, as a liberal, I like that. But if you're a conservative Republican, I don't know why you like that. Romney ran to the left of Ted Kennedy as more pro-gay rights. Again, I like that. If you're a conservative Republican, I don't know why you like that. Romney, you know, Romney comes from a very liberal household. His father was a liberal Republican. His mother ran for the Senate as a pro-choice, pro-YRA Republican. And, you know, again, that's fine from my perspective. But here's a guy who just seemingly doesn't have a principled body in his bone, who has shown he'll just say whatever it takes at that moment. So if you're a conservative, you got to ask yourself, do you really want to vote for someone the second they have to focus towards the general election? Everything they do is going to be about trying to go after that segment of the audience. So certainly there are going to be some conservative Republicans who would hold their nose and vote for anybody over Barack Obama, who has the Republican nomination. But if they're not enthusiastic, if they're not excited, that could mess up their turnout.
It very well could. My guest is T.J. Walker. He's the managing editor of the Daily National. T.J., just 2 points on that. Number one is conservatives generally turn out at the polls in larger numbers, even in down years where the voter turnout is lower, than do liberals. So there's a chance that they would vote for anybody but Barack Obama. The other thing is that whoever the nominee is, whether it is Mitt Romney or anybody else, doesn't get to set the entire platform. The platform is set by the Republican National Committee. Yes, they have great input into it, but the committee would also have a chance to give some guidance in that as well. But my big question to you is, as the managing director of the Daily National, talk to us about your site. Why did you set it up, and what can readers hope to find when they go to your site to look at it?
Well, for one thing, they can do more than read. They can watch lots of videos. They can listen to lots of audio interviews. So it's a full-fledged multimedia site. And we do have a wide range of views. The Rich Lowry National Review story I commented on is linked to at the top of the site. We also do give special prominence to liberal voices, liberal bloggers, liberal thinkers with in-depth video interviews and audio interviews. But it's not just for liberals. As I mentioned to you, I have a lengthy, probably the most lengthy interview anyone has seen with a prominent national Republican, Roger Stone, that goes into dramatic detail of everything in Mitt Romney's past that involves flip-flopping and former liberal positions. So if you're a political junkie, a news junkie, and a media junkie, this is the site for you at dailynational.com.
Let me just second that. It is a great source if you want to take a look at it, and it is definitely presents both sides of the arguments. Give us that website again, if you will, TJ.
3ws.dailynational.com.
dailynational.com. TJ, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.